generally involve the use of words.
We must speak up and speak out the message that Christ has entrusted to us. But I hope you know this is not an easy assignment. I know because I have tried to do that for 34 years, and I'm trying to do it now. The verbal communication of the gospel is part of my job, and it has become a part of my life. To do this is a privilege, but it might surprise you to learn that it's often quite painful. It can be fulfilling, but it can also be frustrating. The great issues of life cannot easily be put into words. It's difficult to talk about truly important matters. It's never easy to put our deepest thoughts and our strongest feelings into words. But you know, as often as it is difficult to talk, it's even more difficult to listen. Our greatest problems with communication are usually not located at the mouth, but at the ear. Before anyone can say what needs to be said, they first must listen. Effective communication always begins with listening. In our gospel reading, there was a story about a deaf man who had a speech impediment. He could not hear at all, and that problem, of course, had impaired his ability to speak. Now, Jesus healed the man of both maladies, but it's worth noting the order in which the healings took place. First, the hearing. His ears were open. Then the speaking. His tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. If you and I could allow Christ to open our ears, a large part of our communication problems would be corrected. Both as a church and as individuals, we will never learn to talk effectively until we begin to listen intently. You know, I think all of us have a hearing problem. We're partially deaf. It isn't that we can't hear. Our difficulty lies in the fact that we don't listen. Now, let me tell you a story about myself and see if you can relate to it. I meet a person for the first time. We shake hands, I tell him my name, he tells me his name, and we start to talk back and forth. And suddenly, in the middle of that conversation, I realize I've forgotten this guy's name. Standing right there looking at him, in less than 2 minutes, I have forgotten the man's name. But the problem is really not with my memory, it's with my ears. When he told me his name, I really did not hear it because I was not really listening. And this is not an isolated event. It happens over and over again, and not just to me. It happens to you, too. It happens in families, in communities, and in churches. It happens at work and at school. People try to tell you who they are, how they feel, where they hurt, and what they need. But we fail to hear them because so much of our time, we really do not listen. You know, but you also need to know that some of this failure to hear is inevitable and it's actually essential. We have to be a little bit deaf in order to survive. George Eliot said, if we heard everything, we would go absolutely crazy listening to the grass grow and the squirrel's heartbeat. You know, the air around us is filled with all sorts of sounds, all sorts of voices, and we have to shut some of them out in order to sleep at night, or to think, or just to keep our sanity. You know, one survivor of a Nazi concentration camp told of a prayer that she used to pray almost daily, God, make me deaf and blind so I can survive. It's so hard and often painful to listen. Part of the difficulty is that we're already busy listening to our own problems. You know, we do have our own needs to meet. We have our own relationships to attend to. Then someone else intrudes with their concerns. But the agenda is already full. The calendar is already crowded. How can we possibly make room for anything else? It's not easy, and it never has been easy to listen. But you know, one of the amazing things about Jesus is that he could hear so well. In the midst of a great crowd of people, he heard a whisper, the weak voice of a sick woman softly saying to herself, "If I just reach out and touch the hem of his clothing, I will be made well." In the village of Nain, he heard a tear trickling down the cheek of a lonely widow who had just lost her only son. You know, and it's frequently reported that he could hear what people were thinking. Now, how did he learn to listen so attentively? Well, we know very little about the earthly life of Jesus. Matthew and Luke tell us the stories of his birth. And after that, he makes a brief appearance in the temple at age 12. Then he is not seen or heard from again until the beginning of his public ministry at age 30. Now, these are called the silent years of Jesus. The silent years of Jesus. And that name is probably more appropriate than we realize. It's my guess that during those 18 years, Jesus spent far more time listening than talking. He listened to the small, still voice of God within. He listened to the sounds of nature. He listened to the instruction of his parents and his rabbis. He listened to the laughter of children. He listened to human voices, some happy, some sad, some angry, some lonely, some desperate. And when he finally appeared on the scene and began to teach and heal, my God, how he could listen. Part of his healing ministry for you and me today would be to open our ears so that we might do the same. And you know, that'll be a painful procedure. Did you notice in our gospel reading that before he opened the ears of the deaf man, he first emitted a groan? Some translators say he heaved a great sigh. Now, why did he do that? I think it's because he knew how painful listening can be. If he opens our ears so that we can really hear, our lives will be radically altered. Sometimes it'll keep us awake at night. We will hear children crying, "I am so hungry, I am in pain." We will hear a young person say, "Tonight I'm going to take my own life." It's a painful experience to listen and hear. But it's also a wonderful experience. Real presence, real connection, real communication is one of the most beautiful things in life. And it always begins with listening. So, my friends, with mixed emotions today, I pray for you and me that Christ will open our ears. It will bring us pain, but it will also bring us undescribable joy.